Hey, this is Kevin from Kevin's Barbecue Joints, and welcome to episode 136 of the Kevin's Barbecue Joints podcast. In this episode, I am very excited to bring you my interview with Rob McGee from Q39 in Kansas City, Missouri. This one's a great one because not only is it an interesting story to hear about how he took his passion for food, went to the Culinary Institute of America, and worked at kitchens across the United States while at the same time falling in love with barbecue, having a barbecue team, and being successful. But this, so we talk about his entire journey, but he gets really in depth about restaurant process. He has two restaurants now. He has one in Midtown, Kansas City, and he also has one in Overland Park. And he has a lot of managers, a lot of employees, but he talks about how he makes it work, and he gives tons and tons of restaurant advice. He gives advice for people that might be interested in opening a restaurant, or people that have a restaurant, or people that want to grow a restaurant. I think this interview is going to be invaluable for those people, or people that are just interested in the inner workings of a restaurant. We talk deeply about his menu and how there's a competition barbecue side of the menu, but how the menu is extremely diverse, and craft cocktails, and his own butchering room and second location. I really think you're going to dig this. Thanks so much, Rob, for taking the time. And as always, I'm excited to have the Smoke Sheet on board as a sponsor for this podcast. The Smoke Sheet is a barbecue newsletter that can be signed up for super easy at bbqnewsletter.com. Smoke Sheet was started by Ryan Cooper, who is at BBQ Tourist, and Sean Ludwig, who is at NYC Barbecue. The two of them have an extensive barbecue traveling and writing background, and they teamed up together. They met at Snow's in Lexington, Texas, and the relationship grew from there, where they wanted to share barbecue news and everything in the barbecue world in a newsletter form, which I think is a great vehicle. This last week's one covered 7 barbecue books for summer reading, and it's not just like a bunch of random links. There's actual information along with links, information on barbecue joint openings and closures, and what pitmasters are doing and what barbecue chefs are doing, and trends in the barbecue world, as well as all of the barbecue events that are coming up. And if you head over to their archive at bbqnewsletter.com, you can see all of the past events, so that way you can start creating a calendar for next year so you don't miss out on anything. There's links to barbecue podcasts, barbecue YouTube stuff, chock full of information, and a barbecue recipe of the week, which is a real legitimate barbecue recipe that you will use. Again, you could sign up quickly at bbqnewsletter.com. That's bbqnewsletter.com. The Smoke Sheet is barbecue news worth consuming. And if you're digging these on the podcast, please subscribe, because I put out at least one of these a week, and I want to make sure that you're notified. And if you're not watching these on YouTube, head over to youtube.com/Kevin's BBQ Joints and subscribe to that, because I put out additional content, which is like barbecue joint tours, visits to butcher shops, and all of that is available at kevinsbbqjoints.com. All my podcasts, all the YouTube stuff, as well as there's a weekly LA barbecue pop-up guide that Abe Delgado from the iCrush Barbecue Show, which is a show you definitely should subscribe to. It's an awesome weekly barbecue show that focuses on Texas barbecue, but also a lot within the LA barbecue scene. We have a weekly list of the pop-ups, because there's tons and tons of barbecue pop-ups all around Los Angeles, and new ones every week. So that's worth checking out. But again, thanks so much for listening. I do appreciate it. Reach out. Let me know what you're thinking. Have a great week. Good morning.
Well, good morning.
How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. So glad to be here.
So what's a typical day for you nowadays?
Typical day. Let's see. I'm in one restaurant. We just kicked off a new menu. So 2 weeks ago, we started in Midtown. I have two restaurants. Then The second one starts on Monday. So spending a lot of time in one, going to the other, and then, of course, talking to fine people like you.
Did you grow up in Kansas City?
I did not. I was born in Staten Island, grew up in New Jersey.
Okay.
And then went to the Culinary Institute back in 86. And my career just blossomed from there, where I was a chef and food and beverage director, multiple places, multiple cities, a lot of hotels, anything from the Four Seasons, Hilton, Westin. Wow. And we bounced around through all these big cities, and I ended up here in Kansas City.
So did you travel to Kansas City ever with your family, or was this, how did you end up here in Kansas City? Was it because you did that for business and then fell in love?
You know what? I had a job transfer. I left Denver and came here to Kansas City. And once I got here and found out what Kansas City was all about, I promised myself I would never move again.
Really? And you know what's funny is every time I talk to someone from Kansas City or just do some research, I fall in love, and I've visited many times, and I have family friends that live there, but I I think Kansas City would be a great place to live. Is there any downside?
You know what? I don't see any downsides. You're centrally located in the United States. Uh-huh. So I can shoot to Dallas in 8 hours. I can go to Chicago in 8 hours. I can be in Denver in 8 hours or 9, 10 max to go skiing if I wanted to. Being centrally located is definitely a plus. But the people here are so great.
For sure.
The cost of living is wonderful. And the city itself is booming in my industry. So with culinary restaurants and what's going on now, all of a sudden you're watching the city bloom. And I just happened to be part of it right at the perfect timing.
Yeah, it sounds like it. And I'll send this to the Kansas City Tourism Board. So that way we could, they could use this as a promotional thing too, to get people, because it sounds like what you've said right now, I would like next year to move to Kansas City.
It's phenomenal. I'll tell you, I love Kansas City. We love the Kansas City Chiefs.
And the Royals too.
Yeah, we're excited this year on the Chiefs, right? So we got Mahomes going, and they made some big changes in defense. And yeah,
off topic, but gosh, he's so great. He's amazing. He's a once in a lifetime kind of player.
Well, you know, when they come into my restaurant, I don't know if it's too far off topic.
Oh, does he come in?
Oh yeah, we've got all the people from the Chiefs that like to come in and do Q39. We've got a great relationship with the Chiefs, and you know, we're hoping great things from them this year.
Yeah. I'm my fingers crossed as well. So now, did you start your barbecue team while you were working for Hilton or were working for one of the chains?
You know, great question. So I moved here back in 2000. Mm-hmm. By 2002, I found out about this barbecue competition thing. So I said, what the heck? So I did one contest led to another, then to another. And next thing you know, I was doing up to 42 contests a year.
What were you working on at the beginning? What type of smoker?
You know what? I started off with real small smokers and then graduated into a pull behind. It's a Horizon smoker.
Oh, wow.
So it's 7 feet long. The box itself is another 3 feet and then 4 feet wide. So, you know, it's a big, big smoker for competitions.
And how did you enjoy the camaraderie? Did you enjoy the competition aspect? Did you enjoy putting those boxes together? Is that something that you were passionate about? Because I know that some people think it's too regimented. Other people love that concept.
You know what? Barbecue contest was great. What happens is over time when you're doing these contests, they do revise the rules, what you need to do. But to send in your food blind judging and for judges to taste it and find out what the outcome is, you know, I think it's one of the best ways you do contests. Mm-hmm. When I first started off, you know, I was like, oh yeah, let's throw some barbecue on the grill. It's going to have, you know, we're going to have a good time. And next thing you know, I got super serious. So over the 12 years, I was in there for 12 years. So 2014 is when I stopped mm-hmm. doing competitions and decided I need to open up a restaurant. I had so much fun. That's how I started off with two or three in the beginning. And by 06, I think I was doing like 30, 07, 08.
That's a lot.
Going up to 40. And you know what? The camaraderie is great. Meeting people, going out, having a great time. You know, have dinner with people, and next thing you know, put in some good barbecue, and hopefully you win.
Those people too, I'm sure you still stay in contact with a lot of those people, because a lot of them are still competing too in various aspects.
You know what? Being part of that barbecue competition community has helped my restaurant get off on the right track when I opened here in Kansas City. They were all very supportive. They knew who I was. And then, of course, I had a lot of success. So when I first started, I wasn't, you know, I didn't do so well. By the time I finished, I got number one team in the nation twice, yeah. Reserve Grand once, and I was in the top 10 7 years in a row.
Unheard of.
Jumping in my car and going all the way down to Fort Lauderdale, Las Vegas, Chicago, down to Texas, and just having a blast on weekends. So I was definitely a weekend warrior.
That must have been a lot of fun. And it must have been kind of tiring for all that travel after a while. It gets tiring to travel. It's like even like a salesman that travels a lot.
You know, I had five teammates, and what we did is we kind of shuffled them around. So not one person was going with me all the time.
Okay.
So a different teammate would come in and we would head down to Florida, or the next one would come in and we stayed in Kansas, or we shot to Georgia. I mean, it was a lot of fun. But, you know, the hats off goes to my wife, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So I knew that if my wife could handle all these barbecue competitions, then if I open up a restaurant, she could really handle the restaurant.
So as you were like around 2013, was in the back of your mind, I want to open a restaurant? And then how did you get the concept too?
You know what? Great question. In 2013, 14, a new company took over. I was working at the Hilton Hotel. And, you know, their vision was just different than mine. And I had a choice to make. Do I want to go work for somebody else? Or do I want to open up my restaurant that I've always wanted to do? And it was time. So I went ahead and left the Hilton. And within 1 year later, we opened up Q39 on Midtown.
And Q39 stands for?
Q for barbecue, 39th. It's on 39th Street.
That, yeah. I knew that, but I wanted to ask for other people. So that it sticks in people's heads a little better.
You know what? Once you hear it, it's easy to tell people, oh, yeah, go to 39th Street. Go to Q39.
And it has Q in the name because there are barbecue restaurants that don't even have barbecue in the name. And people are like, and then I've talked to them and they've said, well, you know, it's kind of difficult for people to even know that we're a barbecue restaurant. But did you want to, because you, I'm sure you've been to numerous barbecue joints in Kansas City. What did you want to kind of stand apart?
The way I positioned it, what I thought that was needed in the marketplace was, you know, a barbecue restaurant that is chef driven, open kitchen, rustic inside, you know, great service, great food, and it's nice, clean environment. So I took all that stuff. I created a menu. Everything's made from scratch. The barbecue, we do competition style. Now, I know people say they do competition barbecue and throw up a couple trophies on the wall. But are you really pulling out your briskets just for lunch? And are you really finishing up briskets for dinner? Are you cooking fresh chicken all day long, sausage? This is what we do. Mm-hmm. And the other thing is I took barbecue. So I graduated the Culinary Institute back in 86. So I have that creative juices going into me. So, you know, I just don't want to put out barbecue, just have four different meats. Now we offer sandwiches, salads, appetizer, that it's barbecue with a twist.
Definitely.
So these fun items that have separated ourselves from other restaurants, that when you come in, you don't always have to have just barbecue or with barbecue sauce. You can come in and have a wood-fired grilled salmon salad. You could come in and have a smoked chicken cassoulet. I mean, you can come in and try different things. So it's smoked and it's barbecued, but it has a twist that goes a little sideways. So we take some of the fun menu items that are available in restaurants or that's very popular, and we take it and we twist it up and make it Q39.
And I've talked to a lot of people too who've said that their significant other doesn't go with them to barbecue joints, like off the beaten path, and they go to a lot of them, but they said that they will go to Q39 because of the menu, the extensive menu and the different options, because they're not as diehard as a lot of the barbecue people, but their family members love the food in general. So you've hit on something that I think was a void and it's important for people to have.
It is. You know, the other thing that when I developed this concept too is, you know, you really have a choice whether you want to make it fast casual or full service. We went with full service. We put in, you know, a full bar. We do craft cocktails, you know, large ice cubes inside a good Manhattan or a smoky old fashioned, right?
So which is so awesome. I love that so much.
Yeah. So we smoke the honey and then make our old fashioned. So we make all these fun drinks that make sense. And we've been put up for vote for best bar program this year. We'll see how we do.
Oh, wow. Good luck on that. That's awesome. Now, what was the reaction at the beginning when you first opened?
Oh, you know what? People took to it big time.
Well, that's great.
I mean, they took a look at this and said, wow, this isn't like what I'm used to. I don't have to stand in a line, you know, or I don't go to a restaurant that's full service and, you know, they get barbecue that's dry, right? Because just wasn't the same as a competition barbecue. But I knew that if we did competition barbecue, if I can win number one team in the nation twice, you know, reserve once.
You're doing something right.
You know, we refined our barbecue and we serve the freshest barbecue possible. So if you come into my restaurant, you'll see a chef. All they do is slice brisket to order. You order a brisket plate, they slice it and make burn ends right then and there.
Oh, perfect.
So there's nothing in a steam table. We're all ready to go. And we're serving the best quality food as possible. And we take care of our customers. So it's just been a launch to open up this restaurant. And people like to sit down, order appetizers, order entrees, get a glass, maybe even a sangria, and hang out and have some barbecue and finish up with some desserts. I mean, it's all made from scratch. Why wouldn't you want to go?
Why wouldn't you want to go? And you're open 7 days a week, right?
We are. We're a restaurant 7 days a week. We open up at 11 o'clock. We close most days at 10. Weekends in Midtown is open to 11. Sundays we close down at 9.
If you arrive around 8 o'clock, can you generally get a full selection of barbecue?
Yes. Yeah. You know, our goal is not to run out of barbecue, but it's okay at the end. I mean,
of course,
we want to take care of our customers. But, you know, when you're open for 5 years, you can calculate how much barbecue you go through on a Monday through Friday and year over year. So we calculate how many briskets per how many dollars come in. Believe it or not, when we first opened up, it was one brisket for every $500 that came in. So if you knew you were gonna say you did $1,000, you know you need two briskets, and so on and so on.
So do you think, like, because a lot of people that listen to this or watch this on YouTube are like prospective entrepreneurs that want to open a restaurant. Would you recommend this concept for other cities? Do you think it would translate to other cities?
You know, that's a pretty tough question to ask. Yeah. You know, here's the first thing I tell everybody. If you're not in the business and you want to open up a barbecue restaurant, don't do it.
Yeah, that's good advice.
Don't open any restaurant. Okay. The reason why 8 out of 10 fail is because of that. Now, leave it to the professionals or get professionals to open it up. You can be an investor to do it.
Certain places are doing like the catering route, and then they open up a small, like a truck in Texas or other little areas. But I don't think that to open a restaurant such as yours on a whim would be insane, I think.
Well, you need to start off. I mean, if you were to tell me, you know, you have somebody in the business that wants to open up a restaurant and likes to do barbecue, absolutely, they should start catering. Food truck is good. It's basically what you're doing is testing the market to see if they will take your food. You know, competition was how I figured out how they liked my barbecue.
Without a doubt.
And then once you graduate from there and you say, okay, I'm doing really good in my food truck, then you can go to a brick and mortar. I highly suggest that they start off with 150, max 200 seat restaurant, and then make sure you pick a place that you can grow. So my first restaurant on 39th Street, we started off with 200 seats.
Okay, now I was going to ask you that.
Now we have 300 seats. So we were able to take over a spot next door. We added another bar. We made it bigger. We added three more smokers. We added two more walk-ins, glycos system for the beer. I mean, then you can grow. And you've got to make sure when you open up a restaurant, if you see that growth, make sure you hire more people and take care of the customers that come in. If not, you're going to see a spike go up and then a spike go back down.
Because
going back to your staffing guidelines, if it wasn't enough when you kept getting busier. So as you get busier, you have to increase staffing. Now, here's something I'll tell you that's always fun to hear.
Okay, cool.
I first opened up my restaurant. I had 35 employees. That included three managers and myself.
Wow.
Yeah. Today, I have 12 managers, 175 employees in both locations.
Wow. In both?
So, yes, in both. So each restaurant, that's my staffing guideline now. So as we got busier, what did we do? We just added more staff. We want to take care of the customer as if it was the first day they came in with 35 employees or whether I have 175 on staff.
Wow, that's amazing. That's great advice. And that's interesting nugget for people. Now, what kind of barbecue items do you have at your restaurant? What could people expect?
Oh, here, you know what? Let me throw you some fun stuff. So here's the creative side of me. So we just put on a smoked brisket poutine on our menu that's just flying out for an appetizer.
That's right? Awesome.
We take our chopped award-winning brisket. We make a smoked bordelaise sauce out of the brisket au jus that when we wrap it in foil, we save that and then we drive that into a sauce, which is dynamite. It's served with white cheddar cheese curds. It's got the gravy and then drizzled with a little bit of barbecue sauce and some chives.
Oh, that sounds so great.
Yeah, so we just put it on. Nobody does it in any barbecue restaurant. And I said, hey, you know, poutines are popular. They started in Canada. They've made their way to the big cities, you know, and to Chicago, Dallas. And I said, you know what? Let's get it here in Kansas City. We're booming. So I put that on, selling like wildfire.
I'd order that in a second.
Yeah.
Especially with a cocktail or a drink, a beer.
There's no doubt about it. It's delicious. So, and when it comes down to salads, we made a baby berg salad, right? So it's kind of like a wedge, but it's a half a baby iceberg. Okay. We top it with oven dried tomatoes, smoked blue cheese, and we do smoked pork belly bacon lardons to go with it. And then top it with onion straws. So once again, there's an item that has Q39 twist with some barbecue lardons to go with it. But yet, if you want to come in and try something you don't want all barbecue, it's a perfect salad to start off.
And so what you've also done is created something where people can come multiple times a week. It's not just straight meat and some sides. You actually have so many options that people can go for.
You know, we just finished up a new menu. We did 15 new items and we switched it out. Matter of fact, I think I had more people ask me, you know, that's not a new menu. I mean, you're really almost engineering your whole menu. And you know what? We have so much fun giving the guests different things to try. Next thing you know, guess what? Our business increases because they have to come in and try it. Yeah. There, I'll give you another one. How about this?
What's that?
We do a smoked and grilled pork belly sandwich. It's served with Granny Smith apples, onion bacon marmalade, and a Dijon aioli. Oh. So something that doesn't have even barbecue sauce on it, but it's a sandwich that, I mean, once you have it, you're going to order it a bunch of times.
Oh, that sounds so good. So you have, like, for meat items, you have brisket, you have your sausage. Is there a specific type of sausage that is it like akin to a Kansas City style, or is it something that you've sampled across the United States? What kind of sausage is it?
You know, all good stuff you're asking. So I did 12 years when I was a chef in Texas. So I make sausage from scratch. We put it in casing. And the way I made it was not only my barbecue seasoning, which is influenced from things that I've learned in Texas. So it's a chipotle cilantro sausage, and we make that fresh. We make it two ways. You can either get it in a link, or we make it into like a burger, so it goes on a sandwich. So we've got a...
Oh, interesting.
Oh, yeah. I've got a burger. You know, it's called the Triple Threat. It has pork sausage, right? The chipotle sausage. Then it's topped with pork belly. Then it's topped with pulled pork. Zesty barbecue sauce, which has a little bit more vinegar, that twang to it. It's topped with apple coleslaw. So we take all these great items.
Oh, that sounds insane.
Is that when you walk away, you say, "Oh my God, that's so good!"
Oh, that is so good. Ribs wise, do you have different kinds of ribs or just pork ribs?
You know what? When it comes down to competition barbecue, I have a section on my menu that's competition barbecue plates. There is no doubt that we probably serve 75% to 80% of everything we serve. They go to competition barbecue. Why? It's a proven recipe that we've got. One of the best barbecue in the United States. So when it comes down to that, I have brisket, I have pulled pork, I've got ribs. Now, when you talk about ribs, I do ribs with honey glaze, and it's finished off with my rub on the outside. So okay. It's sweet, fruit, spice, and it tastes like smoked pork ribs. So everything that I refined in competition barbecue, that is a staple that will not change. So when my chef creativity comes up, I don't try to do things that I used to do in the past. Like, I used to make pomegranate molasses glazed ribs. Sounds great, right? But I don't want to take away from the competition what brought us where we...
That's true. Like, yeah, you're the core.
...is so good. But I can take some of the other entrees. You know, I have an entree section. I can get very creative with it. I've got sandwiches. I've got salads. I got appetizers. And let people try that and the competition. So... it just offers a lot for all my customers.
That's awesome. When did you open your second location? And is it exactly the same? Like, menu-wise?
Menu-wise, it's the same, just like we're kicking off a new menu in, you know, this coming Monday. The building and layout is different. How different? No, it looks the same. It's more of an open concept. It doesn't have separate rooms on it.
Okay.
It does have an open kitchen. So that part of the concept is identical. So the menu is identical, and so is the bar program. But the fun thing that I added there is I've got a butcher room there. So all the things that I wanted to do in my first restaurant, I did in my second restaurant, right, to make it more efficient. So we put a butcher room in there that's temperature controlled. So we clean briskets and make sausage, and we do all raw meat just in that one room. It's nice and cold. So when you're working on it, it keeps the quality of meat to the highest possible instead of trying to clean it when it's 80 degrees in the kitchen.
That's so smart. That's awesome.
Yeah. So we refined also our barbecue pits. Instead of having five, which I have down in Midtown, we only have three, but two of them are 1500s. So 1500 means you can put about 1500 pounds of meat. Uh-huh. Still haven't figured out how to do it, but that's what they say. But now I have three smokers, and I can take care of the same amount of volume as I can with five different smokers, but these are just larger.
Interesting. Okay, that makes sense. And I guess, and was there a learning curve at the very beginning with the first restaurant with these smokers? Because you have to have a specific type for your restaurant for code, right? You can't have the same that you're using for competition.
Yes, you know, you know, a guy who does competition and did really well, who's very competitive, which is myself. Before I opened the restaurant, probably 9 months before I opened my restaurant, I bought a Southern Pride 300.
Okay.
Okay. So it wasn't a larger one. It was actually a smaller one. I put it in my driveway and I practiced barbecue 5 out of the 7 days a week.
That's
and
smart.
We were always trying stuff. So what I had to do is convert from a stick burner. So a stick burner cooks on charcoal and just wood. Mm-hmm. Right. And then goes in there. And now I have a gas and wood burner. Mm-hmm. How can I get that flavor that I got out of my stick burner to come into a Southern Pride? Worked on it for 6 months, got every recipe exactly to taste the same as competition barbecue. And that's how we were able to open up. So the learning curve was zero because I did it all before I opened up the doors.
That too is a great little nugget of wisdom because I've heard of only one other person that's done that. And I'm sure other people do it, but I think sometimes people are scared to make that leap because they're using a stick burner forever and then going to a restaurant where there's codes and there's things where you can't have a stick burner at most places. Texas is kind of its own little animal, but
well, so is the Carolinas, right?
I mean, that's true. Yeah. You got to go to some of those places.
They're throwing the whole hog, so I got to give them a lot of credit. They really know what they're doing.
Yeah, some places in Tennessee as well.
Yes, absolutely.
Well, excellent. So now you seem like a very upbeat, very happy person. There's a lot of employees. Like, is your stress level higher? You just work on that kind of that level normally? Is that, I'm just curious because you seem very calm.
Well, you know, I did have coffee cake and a coffee just hanging out and I just woke up. So maybe that's why. But no, all my employees understand that they're very empowered, that our motto is we are the best restaurant in Kansas City. So while we build that, what I've built into my employees is to take pride in what you do. And if you're going to put it out, make sure it's perfect. Okay. If it's not perfect, do it over. Okay. We're all about taking care of the customer. So what we do is a whole bunch of stuff that I've learned over my tenure of being in food and beverage. But, you know, process improvement is huge in my restaurant. I mean, 15 new items. I mean, it's a little risky, I guess.
I guess, but you probably have seen it.
Right? So we go through all these recipes. We test it. If it's not excellent, it doesn't come on the menu. So I've got to get buy-in from everybody and customers I bring in, and we test it out. So through this new menu process, it's taken us over 9 months to solidify all of these recipes to where everybody says, wow, it's delicious. So process improvement and getting my employees to understand that they're working at the best restaurant in Kansas City, that's what allows us to continue to excel instead of going backwards.
And empowering your employees and having trust in them and having a staff that you trust is so important. So it sounds like you obviously have that or you wouldn't be with the demeanor that you have right now, you probably would be more stressed.
You know, over time, in the beginning, I was very much in my restaurant. So if you were to ask some of my original managers that are still with me, you know, how was Rob when you first opened up? I was there at 6 a.m. I didn't leave until 9 or 10 at night. I did that for over 2.5 years.
Wow.
And that was the commitment that I wanted to make sure Q39 was going to do, you know, just launch and do it very successful. Now that I have 2 restaurants, I've got great general managers, I've got great employees, and the employees, it's like, you know, like it's like a bug, you know, they get into it. Next thing you know, they're like, yeah, we got to do this. Mm-hmm. You know, we're 239. This is, you know, we're number one, not number two, we always say. So for us to, you know, strive, my employees and my managers that I hired are really top notch in the marketplace. And right now I'm talking to you and they're running my restaurants.
Yeah. That's exactly right. Now, so now do you need reservations during the week or would you just recommend during the weekend or is it a place that if you came on a weekend evening, how long would you wait?
You know what? That's all great stuff when you talk about Q39. I highly recommend reservations no matter what day you come in.
Okay. Because of conventions or, yeah.
Yeah, because when you walk in, regardless if there's a wait or not, you're the first one to be sat because your table is already set. So we have 300 seats. We were the first barbecue restaurant to take reservations. I think one or two are starting to catch on that this is kind of important for customers.
Yeah.
When we're busy, our regulars that come in love to put in reservations so we can get them sat right away. Uh-huh. So when some people say, oh, the line was so busy, I couldn't get in. Well, did you make a reservation? That's all you got to do.
Yeah, bars. Is there a bar seating as well?
There is. In my Midtown location, I have two bars.
Oh, wow.
So I have one with about 18 seats and the other one with 10 seats in the other room. And then in my South location off at Antioch, we've got about 22 seats where it's a nice U bar.
Oh, wow.
So people who, you know, if it's just one or two and they don't want to wait, they go straight to the bar. So we fill up the bar right away.
And a full menu at the bar.
Oh yeah. We serve full menu all over. Even our to-go, we do full menu. I've been told by a lot of people, you got to scale down. You got to scale down. I always ask, why? Wouldn't you want to wait 15 minutes and get the best quality food coming off that line? Or do you want to just serve barbecue? No, we want to give them the same thing we offer our guests in our dining room as to-go.
That's awesome. And I also noticed that online you have the to-go. You have on your website, you have a link to the to-go. So that's probably a big portion of your business, or a good portion of your business.
Yeah, I mean, we are constantly process improvements. So we've done a whole revamp of our accounting system. We are now looking at upgrading our POS system. We're looking at online ordering. You know, pay at the table. So, you know, we're constantly improving and trying to be the best we can be. So it's not all about barbecue and food. It's also how you run your restaurant. Mm-hmm. Because people come in, you want to make sure you take care of them. They get the freshest food and they leave happy. I mean, that's the big thing, right? To do some of these other process improvements, even though it might not be barbecue or food, it's helping the guest experience through the restaurant.
Oh, for sure. Are you going to be opening a third restaurant someday? Is that something that people could possibly see?
You know, it's a question that's asked to me all the time. I am constantly looking for the right locations. Mm-hmm. To find these two locations did take me a long time. You want to make sure you position yourself in the marketplace to where you have enough dense population or enough businesses to support your lunch crowd. Just opening, here's some advice for somebody who's opening a restaurant. Just don't look at a space and say, oh, I'm going to open a barbecue restaurant. It'll be real popular there. No, do your homework. Mm-hmm. Find out dense population. How about hotels and transient people? Because when they come into Kansas City, what do they want to do? Business and eat barbecue.
For sure.
Right? I mean, yeah. That's it. So you want to make sure you position your restaurant in the right location where you get three things. Local clientele. You want to make sure for the transient people that come in. And you need businesses for lunchtime. Mm-hmm. So if you can get those three.
That's perfect.
And that's where the location is, then yeah, you got to open up my third restaurant. So I constantly look around. Sometimes I only find two of the three. But for now, we're looking really hard and we should get a third one up eventually.
Eventually. Well, thank you for taking the time, because even though I know you delegate a lot of things, you are a busy guy, and I so appreciate this. And I think this is a great primer for people for looking at potentially open a restaurant, but also to understand, I wanted people to know what you were all about, what the restaurant was all about, because a lot of people travel through Kansas City and they're looking for a place to eat, and there's a lot of options. And I would hope that now people learn more, they know more about you, and then now they know more about your restaurant. And I'm really excited to visit both locations. I can't wait.
You know, I highly suggest that if somebody wants to learn about Q39, make sure you check out our website. It's got pictures of food. Also, go on Yelp. Find out what people are saying about our restaurant. I mean, they're brutally honest. So
they are.
So make sure you check that out. We believe in taking care of our customers, and Yelp and TripAdvisor and all that stuff is super important to our business. So you need to make sure, you know, you do the research. But check out the website. You'll see all the pictures of the fun and exciting food, and I'll tell you the whole thing.
No, it's a great website. It's really well done. And then also, too, I'll put links to everything in the show notes and in a companion blog piece so people will have that.
Well, great. We're looking forward not only to see you, but every one of your clients that are out there.
All right. Thanks so much. Have a great weekend.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks, Rob. Take care.